And furthermore, we also saw really strong performance from our well, this really strong performance really drove a substantial reduction in our net debt. We saw our net debt reduced by 30% to levels that were roughly similar to the levels that existed at the end of 2024 or at the beginning of 2025. And that was before we acquired a producing $50 million copper stream in March. In the first half, the entirety of the first half, we received 140 tons. So Q3 was really strong, and Voisey's now really ramping up towards its full production capacity. So we put out guidance for 2026, and that guidance for 2026 is 500 to 560 tons, 560 tons being the full production capacity on average over the life of the mine. That's the cobalt we receive as our percentage. And whether it's 500 to 560 will somewhat depend on when the mine achieves that full production level in the year. So bringing this JV and partner is a absolutely crucial step towards seeing this asset brought online in the future. The next key steps include financing and final investment decision from the Capstone Copper Board. And Capstone has signaled a final investment decision as early as the second half of next year. But this is a big royalty for Ecora and transformational in terms of our copper exposure.
Mark Bishop Lafleche, Ecora Resources. Good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Hi, Andy. Very well, thanks. Great to be here.
It's great to have you here. So, just to all my viewers and listeners, Ecora Resources is a sponsor of the show and channel. I am also an investor in Ecora Resources. So, this is not investment advice. Do your own due diligence as I have, and I've been very happy shareholder with Ecora Resources since we've met it's been about 5, 6 months now. If my memory serves me correct here. Mark, you've had a great third quarter. Let's start talking about that. Work me through some of the results you've had, and yeah, I'm all ears.
Yeah, well, it was a really strong set of results that in many ways continues upon the momentum we've seen earlier in the year. Also, in many respects, also very clearly signposted along the way, where at Ecora, I think we've been expecting a volume growth in our base metals portfolio throughout 2025. And that's certainly something that any viewer will see us discuss in quite some detail if they were to go back and check our historical videos that we've done with you and elsewhere in our quarterlies. The business saw really strong performance, in particular from our critical minerals portfolio in the third quarter, and in particular from that subset from the base metals aspect of our royalties, where we saw, compared to 9 months into 2024, 2025, we saw 150% year-to-date growth in our base metals royalties. A couple of records were set in our base metals assets, and we can come back to speak in detail if you'd like. And furthermore, we also saw really strong performance from our well, this really strong performance really drove a substantial reduction in our net debt. We saw our net debt reduced by 30% to levels that were roughly similar to the levels that existed at the end of 2024 or at the beginning of 2025. And that was before we acquired a producing $50 million copper stream in March. So to be back to roughly where we were before that acquisition, only 6 or 7 months later, is fantastic. It was well ahead of our deleveraging expectations, but certainly showing the market and delivering on our debt reduction is very much in line with our target. Is something we're really happy about. And
Okay,
last,
go ahead. Go ahead.
well, last but certainly not least, and I'll be brief here, we saw some great milestones in our development stage portfolio. So, in other words, royalties that are very close to first production, royalties that are slightly longer dated. In any event, some great developments and milestones that ultimately de-risk the next wave of growth at Ecora into the future.
Okay, so about that, you said something really key. I want you to correct me if I'm wrong. Basically, you're at where you were back in March before, as far as just money and paying off, before you purchased the copper, the royalty. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. Very similar levels. So
So that is phenomenal news. I am interrupting you, Mark. That is something to all my viewers and listeners. I did not know this until I just had Mark on. I probably should have paid more attention to all of the quarterly reporting here, which I have been paying attention, but that is news to me, and that is phenomenal news.
It
So.
is. It sure is. And look, that net debt number was driven, the reduction in drawn debt was driven by number one, just strong performance in our portfolio. Number two, as I mentioned in our last discussion, the sale of a non-core development stage gold royalty, which we received $16.5 million at completion. And also the return of mining in our coal royalty, Kestrel, where the mining rates can be in or out of our royalty area depending on when you are in the year. And we saw some return to our mining area at the end of the second quarter, but that mining really took place and drove some good cash flows in the third quarter from Kestrel. So the three combination of those fa the combination of those three factors is what yielded this substantial reduction in drawn debt, well ahead of our expectations at this time of year, with further room to get that number down throughout the fourth quarter, absent any acquisitions. So it's a great place to be.
Yeah, it really is. So I have a couple of questions on that. Well, and I just let me pin my thoughts on that. But let's talk about you had a huge increase, and I'm looking over at my other computer screen here. Your base metals, your stream coming in from your base metals. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, so where to start? So there's a couple comparables here. So Q on Q, so Q3 versus the second quarter, we saw just under 90% growth on the base metals revenue line. And I've already.
That's great. I'm laughing. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's a great result. We should enjoy it. We also saw, as I mentioned, 150% growth if you compare the period 9 months 2025 to 9 months 2024. And this is driven off a couple things. So number one, volume growth at the Voisey's Bay mine. The Voisey's Bay mine has been ramping up, something we spoke about in quite some detail when we last in both of our prior conversations, where in the third quarter, we saw, getting the exact figure for you, we had deliveries of approximately 180 tons of cobalt, and that's in the third quarter. In the first half, the entirety of the first half, we received 140 tons. So Q3 was really strong, and
Yeah.
Voisey's now really ramping up towards its full production capacity. So we put out guidance for 2026, and that guidance for 2026 is 500 to 560 tons. 560 tons being the full production capacity on average over the life of the mine. That's the cobalt we receive as our percentage, and whether it's 500 to 560 will somewhat depend on. When the mine achieves that full production level in the year. So that's where we're headed next year. And in the interim, we've upgraded our 2025 guidance. So for 2025, we've upped our guidance to just over 430 tons to 450 tons, roughly. And that compares previously to 365 at the low end to 390.
Wow.
So we're seeing volume upgrades this year. And I guess to put it in other words, we see volume upgrades this year on that asset. And now we have a really clear line of sight on that asset hitting full production. We also have great cobalt price tailwinds as well, by the way, which compound the benefit of that volume growth.
Yeah, okay. Got it here. So, really, the next question I have here is, and this let me talk a little bit to my viewers and listeners, and this is how I evaluate a royalty company here. I want to know what you have coming into production or in production now, so I can see cash coming in now, and then I want to see what's the next tier where your growth is or where that's going to come from. We can add on layer on into that coming into the next several quarters, if you would. And so talk to me about that. You mentioned it briefly. What do you have or what's your expectation coming in with your other assets in the next what's coming into production in the next several quarters?
Yeah, so if you were to frame it in that way, I think when you look to the next couple of quarters, you know, what we're really focusing on here is one aspect of our portfolio, and this is our producing portfolio. So from a cash flow growth perspective in the base metals, really we expect to see volume growth in Voisey's Bay mine, and that's a cobalt entitlement, and that's a mine that is now, as I mentioned, approaching full production capacity. We saw Actually, in the last quarter, another record being set at the Mantos Blancos mine, where we have a royalty record in terms of quarterly royalty income to Ecora. And that mine has been delivering really strong operational performance. We also have really strong copper price tailwinds there. And third, from a base metals perspective, the stream we bought earlier this year over the Mimbula mine has also been delivering excellent volume growth. So in the third quarter, we saw 120% growth compared to the second quarter.
Gosh,
Yeah,
well done.
Q3 was great.
It was.
Continue to expect volume growth and price growth in Q4. So we release Mimbula in advance 1 quarter. So in the fourth quarter, we expect 1.3 from Mimbula, and then we ex that compares to 1.1 from the third quarter. And all this is being underpinned by volume growth as that asset approaches. That asset is being expanded to increase production capacity, if you recall. So not only do you have volume growth there, you have great price tailwinds. And those sort of producing dimensions. And then beyond that, next year, and I won't go too deep into the portfolio, but at the Mantos Blancos mine, it's just worth reminding anyone who's watching this interview that a phase two expansion study is expected to be released next year. And that contemplates potentially increasing production above the current levels at the Mantos Blancos mine.
So it's a lot of it's stuff that you already have that's just being expanded, correct?
Yeah, exactly. And then the next dimension of our growth, the third, is of course assets that are not yet in production coming online. And the one to mention, I mean, there were a number of really key de-risking events, but if you had to pick a highlight in this area in the third quarter, that has got to be a Capstone announcement that they have entered into a joint venture agreement with Orion Resource Partners to sell Orion Resource Partners 25% of that project, with the proceeds at completion being used to develop the mine. So bringing this JV and partner is a absolutely crucial step towards seeing this asset brought online in the future. The next key steps include financing and final investment decision from the Capstone Copper Board, and Capstone has signaled a final investment decision as early as the second half of next year. But this is a big royalty for Ecora and transformational in terms of our copper exposure. This royalty, based on the latest Capstone copper guidance, has the potential to generate at spot prices $30 million-$35 million on average for the first 7 years. So, I think when you look at the portfolio today, we're really happy with how things are sort of developing. We're seeing the volume growth we expected in our producing portfolio, the next wave of brownfield. So by brownfield, I mean the expansion of mines that are already in production. We're seeing great developments there. And then we're seeing excellent de-risking milestones to support growth in revenue from assets that are not yet in production, that are expected to be in production in the short, medium, and longer term.
Got it. Explain to me a little bit more. What do you mean by de-risking? Is that just because they're coming in production, or does that mean for Ecora also reducing debt? Talk to me about a little bit more about that. What exactly do you mean?
Yeah, in this specific context, I was referring to steps taken or project milestones from the project owner, so the mining company, that move the project forward down the field towards a final investment decision, construction, and then first production. And that can include a wide range of things. But if you just think back to Q3 at Ecora, we saw, for example, Cypria Metals, an Australian listed copper developer, which owns the Nifty Copper project. They completed approximately $80 million Aussie equity raise. Part of those proceeds will go towards restarting a brownfield operation, with the balance being put towards technical work to restart mining at Nifty. So, a key de-risking event, number one, just being having the financing to progress the study on the restart of mining. Next would be putting that study out, releasing it. That study being a positive one with positive economics, and then last being funding and restart, funding and the beginning of the necessary works associated with the restart and then production. So each project will have sort of separate milestones and separate key steps towards de-risking. We just saw some great test results at the Palabora Rare Earth Project in the period, which confirmed the project's really high purity product, great grades, potential reduction in capital costs at the project. So it sort of depends on the specific project because each project is at a different step along its phase. But the simplest way to put it, if it's not yet in production, to think about it as just incremental steps down the field towards, the end result being a project coming online and producing and selling minerals over which we would have a royalty entitlement.
And to build, I guess, and that, again, that's what you want. I don't want to say staggered, but again, what I look for in a royalty company is like what's hitting, what's about to hit, and what do you have in the portfolio that is, again, that's going to hit not only in what I said over the next several quarters, but also your, the next several years. What do you have hit? And the problems that I see with a lot of royal companies, they have all these air quotes great royalties, but nothing is hitting, or it's not going to be hitting for the next several years. So you're really cash starved. And that is not the issue with Ecora because you have all of this stuff that is hitting now, that has hitting now. And then you have this huge growth potential as well, not only in brownfields projects, but in projects that are going to come online over the next few years, correct?
Yeah, that's been the part about Ecora that I feel has been frankly most misunderstood. Because the last, call it 12 to 24 months, have been a pretty major transition where it's felt like a lot of the market was focused on what Ecora was. In other words, Ecora used to be pretty dependent on a coking coal or steel making coal royalty,
Right.
which is generating gate cash flows for Ecora. But the future of Ecora is really in critical minerals. And I think what 2025 has increasingly demonstrated is a portfolio of assets that provide sort of that number one in 25 are just demonstrating the free cash flow potential that exists from the assets that are already in production, right?
Right.
And those compare from the producing assets we have now, what you're comparing is assets that are expected to have lives for multiple decades, as opposed to Kestrel, which was measured in years. And that's very different.
Yeah.
But the next thing for Ecora, I think, is showing further progress and seeing key milestones on the projects that drive medium-term growth and longer-term growth. And
Yeah.
that's really, it's exciting to see it. We've put a lot of work into this company to ensure it had was very resilient position, very diversified. And by the way, you can always keep diversifying a royalty company, but to see it starting come together in the critical minerals portfolio as we've seen this year, with a lot more to come in the future. It's really exciting for Ecora and its shareholders, coming out now of what was, a difficult transition when you're transitioning from one key asset into something new.
Yep. Talk about, I didn't hear, and you might have mentioned it, but I didn't hear anything about uranium here. Talk to me about your uranium assets here. Where are they at, and when do you expect them to hit?
Yeah, so we have two producing exposures in uranium. First is we have a toll milling entitlement. So in other words, for every sort of pound of material that's mined at Cameco's Cigar Lake, and for those who are not familiar with that operation, it's probably considered to be the best, if not amongst the best, royalty uranium mines in the world.
It's
That's
the Saudi Arabia area, if you would, of uranium. That's how I look at it. Go ahead.
So that yeah, so it's a great exposure. It's not price linked, it's sort of volume linked, but it's a great asset, very low on the cost curve with expansion potential. So it's something that's done really nicely for us in the past. We have a royalty of the second biggest uranium mine in Australia in production called Four Mile. And that generated for us in the last quarter just over $500,000. In the second quarter, just under $1 million. Year to date, tracking around $1.5 million. And then longer term, we have a royalty over NexGen's Patterson Quarter East discovery, which is generally viewed to be potentially amongst the most exciting uranium discoveries of this century. So that's a royalty that was historically acquired for a fairly small amount, and in time has the potential to generate sort of a monstrous amount of cash flow. But still, this project is at still, very early stages. It's the resource is being delineated currently. But it's a great example of the depth, albeit we can always improve upon and further diversify this business, but it's a great example of the depth that this business now has in terms of the producing, the brownfield expansion potential, the sort of medium-term, near-term development plays, and then the longer-term assets that have a huge amount of potential in the future, when and if they come into production.
Well, that is exactly what I'm getting at, is like you have you're collecting money now, if you would, but then your growth, when and if that comes online, is again could be another difference maker. Not that you need any more, which you always need more, but you know what I'm talking about. When it's coming up online, talk to me a little bit about that. Work that out a little bit more. You mentioned, I want to say it was off camera, might have been on, but the best is yet to come. So it has me as an investor very keen on that. And again, you gave out some guidance, you readjusted to the upwards your guidance, but tell me how what's the best that you can comment about. Talk to me about what's the best to come here.
Well, if you think about this, first of all, I said that context, really, that comment, really in the context of what this critical minerals portfolio has the potential to do, right? And thus far in 2025, what we've had an indication of, not yet in full, but an indication of, is a cash generation potential that exists within the critical minerals assets and the growth assets that we have, right? And again, in the context of what many have seen is sort of the met coal running off. But what we've always said, and I said it to you the first time we met, Andy, Ecora is really a story about the ramp up in its critical minerals assets, right? That's what you're starting to see this year. And there's just so much more potential, starting only in the producing asset base, but also in the near-term development assets and beyond. So it really is what we think is the beginning of this company firmly positioning itself as the dominant and leading critical minerals focused royalty company. We have a great head start, and there's a great market backdrop to continue to grow this business. We've always been very disciplined in our acquisitions in terms of jurisdiction, asset quality, counterparty. We measure acquisitions in terms of quality, not in terms of number. So, in other words, we're happy to do fewer but better quality deals. This company, I've said it from day one, but this company has incredible potential, and 2025 is just really starting to daylight the free cash flow generation that exists.
Talk to me a little bit about very broader terms, if you would. And one of the, and I mean this too, because one of the very first thing that attracted me to Ecora, to you and Ecora as an investor, was that you were in the critical mineral space. And I didn't have any, well, I had exposure to critical minerals, but it was through mining, directly through mining. It was through no royalties. But what was very interesting to me, all the things that were going on geopolitically, and just how that was going to make it a scarcity or a harder to get critical minerals here. So talk to me about that moving forward. How are you taking advantage of that? And do you see, and this would be the benefit of Ecora or other critical mineral companies out there, do you see a pathway? Do you see that getting easier, if you would, to get into production, getting mine instant production with everything that's going on?
Yeah, so there's a lot here. So let's just start with the sort of geopolitical angle, right? And if you take a step back, the reason that governments are so focused on these critical minerals is because they're absolutely integral to the modern economy of today, but also to the economies of the future, whether it be digital, whether it be AI, whether it be robotics, whether it just be plain old-fashioned GDP growth and fixed asset investment. The minerals and the materials that we require are crucial. And history has demonstrated that economies that have access to these minerals tend to not only outperform, but survive over extended periods of time, whereas those that do not have access to these founding blocks of an economy struggle. So that's the context, right? And in that context, what you see today in sort of the recent American big legislation, but also in terms of some of the announcements of infrastructure and asset investments and development into the United States, that sort of level of fixed asset investment is very material intensive, not for all commodities, but certain commodities. So not only do you have a backdrop where you expect to see strong demand growth through electrification, digital infrastructure, but also pure old-fashioned fixed asset investment, which bodes potentially very well for certain commodities. And you haven't really seen the impact of that yet. Next year, we'll really start to see how much that investment comes through, but it potentially bodes really well for the outlook on mineral demand. And then longer term, It does appear that you're starting to see, in parallel with sort of governments recognizing the importance of these minerals, concerted efforts not only to develop their own supply chains, but to focus on reducing the amount of time necessary to bring new projects into production. So you put all this together, you have what you appear to have is really strong demand growth backdrop. Supplies growth still appears to be quite constrained. And that really comes on the back of the timeline required for these projects generally to be developed and brought to a state where they can be brought into production, ignoring the whole permitting aspect, which can be even longer. And as a provider of finance to this sector, what you have is a growing pool of demand for your financing sources. So yes, it does appear that the backdrop and on a forward-looking basis, the outlook is really quite positive for what the need for capital to continue to build, not only replace existing supply, but build new sources of supply to meet new sources of demand.
Okay. Talk to me about two things here. Number one, the jurisdictions, and we've mentioned this, I want to say each time I've had you on, but talk about it again, the jurisdictions that you're in, because a lot of these minerals, they are mined in places that are typically not stable or can be unstable. Tell me about the jurisdictions that you're in, the stability and the safety there. And then yeah, do that first, and then I have another question.
Yeah, so at Ecora, we've been very focused on just building a portfolio that's really resilient and very defensive. And that certainly applies to jurisdictions. From a jurisdiction perspective, the majority of our exposures, over 80-85% off memory, are in OECD jurisdictions, but the bulk of our exposure is Canada, Australia, Chile. And beyond that, we have some copper exposure in, again, a very well-established mining jurisdiction in Zambia. The name for the area, the province, is literally the Copper Belt Province. That certainly gives you a clue for what's been happening in that part of Zambia for many, many years. When we look to the future, I think we're sort of excited by the opportunity set and feel that that asset exposure can broadly be maintained.
Got it. Talk to me about specifically about the shares of Ecora. If you have, if you know, how many shares do you have that are full outstanding with full warrants, and do you have any warrants and options written out on Ecora?
Yeah, so it's really simple shareholder structure. So the company has, excluding treasury shares, 249 million shares. There are no warrants. So simple, clean.
So I asked you this question the last time I had you on. To all my viewers and listeners, if you haven't listened to that video, I'd highly suggest that you check that out. But what Mark just said, that is a very tight share structure, and that's great for me as an investor. So, and you have no warrants or no options written, correct?
That's right. I mean, there are the usual.
That's crazy. That's crazy good. I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, there are the usual sort of management and staff incentive schemes that you'd expect. But even the executive awards are based on restricted share awards, not through options. So no, it's a very, very clean capital structure. Great for shareholders or prospective shareholders as well to benefit from the upside potential that exists in this business.
Yeah. Mark, if I can ask you, and I don't know this question, how much skin do you have in the game?
I have bought just under 1 million shares. So for me personally, that's most of my skin.
So well done. So you're very highly invested. Okay. Any thoughts you want to leave our viewers and listeners going into the new year? What should they be tuning in for, if you would? Any news that might be potentially hitting here? Yeah, and tell me about that. Anything that you can comment about?
In terms of what we expect, pretty simple. We've touched on it already today, but if I were just to break it down to a couple of sound bites, number one, it would be some level of continued volume growth from our producing asset base and continued growth in our base metals assets on the back of volumes and what seem to be really strong price tailwinds, both in copper and base in copper and cobalt. We've seen some great uranium price tailwinds as well. And I think we're expecting also to see further deleveraging, not by as much as we saw Q2 to Q3, but a good amount into the fourth quarter. And of course, as we go into next year, I think in particular in H1, there are quite a few expected announcements or de-risking events or catalysts or milestones, as you want to call them, respect to assets that are, as I mentioned, not yet in production, but really fueling Ecora's next wave of growth and then towards the end of this decade and beyond. That's really detailed in our corporate presentation on our website. It's something we went through in detail, actually, Andy, when you last had me on, and that all appears to be broadly on track for from a timeline perspective. So stay tuned and posted. We're pretty excited to see what comes next.
Excellent. If people want to do more research, how do they find you? What's your website? If they want to buy you, what are your tickers and what exchanges are you traded on?
Yeah, so if you're in the US and you'd like to buy and settle in the US, we're on the OTCQX under the ticker ECRAF. We're on the Toronto Stock Exchange, the ticker ECOR, and of course our main market on the London Stock Exchange, ECOR. Our website, www.ecora-resources.com. And if you have any questions, please reach out, ir@ecora-resources.com. That's an address that's monitored very carefully, and we do endeavor to come back to any question and every question that's put forward.
Yeah, and to all my viewers and listeners, the team at Ecora is very, very responsive and been very responsive to me. Mark, I want to thank you so much for your time. Love to have you on again, maybe next month to get a end of the year summary, if you would, if that's okay with you.
That sounds great. I'm looking forward to it, Andy.
Yeah, I'd love to see you in Atlanta too.
That makes two of us.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye.